eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease and a whole lot of love, you transform 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. LED headlights, spoilers, whatever you need. eBay Motors has it at affordable prices. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride every time. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Bringing it home in the first race for the new era of GTP, the hybrid era in IMSA WeatherTech competition. Tom Blomqvist and Maya Shank Racing win the 2023 Rolex 24 at Daytona. And Spider-Man Elio Castro Neves gets three in a row. Their teammates Simon Pagenaud and Colin Brown victorious here at the World Centre of Racing. They defend their Rolex 24 crown.
Mike is a dear friend, great champion, has built an amazing team, and it pains me not to see him. I competed against him. I have known him and certainly his drivers for a long time. So that is a slight missing piece of the puzzle for me this year, just because of a deep relationship. You know, racing's a family. It was a tough situation, and it still pains me. I lost personally a lot of sleep, and I know a lot of other people did too, but our series and motorsport and sport in general is built on fair competition.
But I can, I can't sugarcoat it. It's tough. It's very hard not being there, knowing that we're peaking. We're absolutely at the top of our strength on the IMSA side right now, and we deserve to be there.
Greetings. Welcome to the NASCAR on NBC podcast. I'm your host, Nate Ryan. The 62nd annual running of the Rolex 24 at Daytona will begin January 27th. But the prestigious endurance race will be missing some very familiar and successful faces on the starting grid. Meyer Shank Racing is the two-time defending overall winner of the Rolex 24. Last year, Tom Blomqvist, Colin Brown, Elio Castro Neves, and Simon Pagenaud combined to win the 2023 IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship season opener. They won it from the pole position and the debut of the hybrid prototype LMDH cars of the rebranded Grand Touring Prototype category. The team had entered the 2023 season as the champions in the final year of the DPI class, bookending the title with wins in the 2022 Rolex 24 at Daytona and then in the Petit Le Mans season finale. But as the 2024 IMSA season dawned last Friday with the roar before the Rolex 24 test session, team owner Mike Shank was at home in Ohio instead of Daytona International Speedway, where he had spent most of his past 20 Januaries as a longtime personality in sports cars.
Not a great day for us, you know. We have worked really hard on the IMSA side. Just talking specific IMSA, we've had tremendous success there. Through multiple brands, but a lot with Honda and Acura. So we've been really proud of that. So it's hard just kind of not going out on the terms we'd like to go out on, you know. So, you know, it doesn't mean we're done, though, you know. So we're working on hard for the next program, and we'll see where we end up here. But I'm very hopeful for the future, but definitely bummed for today, you know, for this weekend, this year, you know.
For the first time in two decades, Shank won't have an entry in IMSA this season, after a costly punishment for manipulating tire pressure data during last year's Rolex 24 win left him without a manufacturer deal for 2024. And though he is burning up the phone lines trying to secure a deal to return for the 2025 season, Shank decided to skip networking in person at Daytona this year.
You know, my wife said to me, I got to get you as far away from that place as we can. So we're going to go down to Key West next weekend on a boat and hang out in the sun and watch the race on the TV on the boat and just try to relax a little bit and get ready for a very, very busy, you know, IndyCar thing that we got going on. So that's our plan now. And, you know, I'll be keeping, you can imagine, I'll be keeping super close tabs on everything, you know?
Sports cars have been a large part of Shank's racing life since 2004, when he was a foundational part of Jim France's new Daytona prototype era. The cost-effective concept was to give scrappy teams like Shank's a chance to compete. Shank mortgaged his house to help fund his fledgling prototype program, a move that would pay off when he won the 2012 Rolex 24 at Daytona with A.J. Allmendinger and the late Justin Wilson in his lineup.
Mike Shank's not a billionaire businessman that came in and started a racing team. He started brick by brick.
I think it's a great American story for a young guy coming from the Midwest, very modest. We didn't make a lot of money. I had to figure out other ways to get to the top of motorsports.
This effort means a lot to Michael Shank, who mortgaged his home to help fund this effort.
We had some great people along the way come and help us to keep elevating us to the next level. The Rolex in 2012 was the beginning of everything.
It has been a long, long wait. Mike Shank Racing finally does it!
That group of people on that given day were destined to win that race, I think.
We all wanted to win it so bad, but I think more than anything, we wanted to win it for Mike Shank because he works harder than anybody I ever met. Dude's absolutely amazing.
Well, you know, when he created DP, it was for teams like ours. You know, literally, when you created a Daytona prototype, it was for teams that had a reasonable kind of regional budget with a good car and good engineering. You could do well. You could compete against the big ones at the time. That was a prototypical model, and that's what we did. And that's, I think that's what he appreciated about what we brought to the table back then. You could even relate that to how, you know, Justin Marks has done it with NASCAR and the new model in NASCAR. It's kind of the same way. When the tables get re-leveled from a technical standpoint, it brings everybody out. And that's what happened to us in 2004 with Jim.
But the team's ascent truly took flight in 2021, when Elio Castroneves joined Shank's teams in IMSA and IndyCar, and immediately became the fourth four-time winner of the Indianapolis 500.
It was destiny for sure.
Welcome to the four-time club, Elio Castroneves!
Crossing the finish line, and I even remember saying just to myself, screaming, can you believe it? We did it.
That's what I'm talking about. Woo! Last time to fans, everyone. Woo!
That was a special moment and just a perfect testimony that people work hard, understand that, you know, sometimes you go through difficult scenarios. If it meant to be, will be.
8 months later, Castroneves anchored Meyer Shank Racing's second victory in the Rolex 24 at Daytona. And he then drove a second full-time entry during the 2022 IndyCar season for Meyer Shank Racing, as the corporate sponsorship money poured into the team.
The Indy 500 win has changed our life in so many ways. I've found that it's the gift that keeps on giving. It legitimizes us, brought a lot of notoriety to our team, and it's exactly what I worked for my entire life.
By the time of its 2023 Rolex 24 victory, Meyer Shank Racing had completed the transformation from underdog to IMSA powerhouse.
It makes me think about all the times when I don't think our team got respect for as good as we were, or at least I thought we were. And I think about those times and it feels like a little redemption. And I love that because in a lot of people's mind, we're still a small team that can and all this kind of stuff that I really get tired of. We're not a small team anymore and we've won some of the biggest races in the world and I can bank our results against anyone, I think. But it's taken a long time to get there. So it makes me think of that. It makes me think how far we've come and how proud I am of the people that have been at MSR for some of them 25 and 26 years, what we've all done together.
David Salters, the president of Honda's U.S. racing arm, was effusive in his praise of what Shank and the team meant to the Acura program after the 2023 Rolex 24 win.
Oh, Mike is wonderful. The results in racing, results speak for themselves. That's all you need to know. Two Daytona wins, championship, Indy 500. You cannot do much better in North America, can you? We all just work together, but it's, again, it's people doing work. We're grounded. Today's great. Right, tomorrow, what are we going to do for Sebring? So that's the standard we set ourselves. But it's actually just to appreciate the people. Mike is really smart. He's got the right people in the right places. His team is tremendous. He has really knuckled down and built, you know, it was taking his team to the next level. just go in his pit box and look what's happened. That's just the mentality of how can I be the best.
But the tenor of the Honda-MSR relationship would change soon afterward. Honda discovered Meyer-Shank Racing had manipulated its tire pressure data during the Rolex 24 victory and self-reported the findings to IMSA after conducting a detailed investigation. After its own investigation to ensure no other teams had fudged tire data, IMSA hammered MSR with a penalty that stripped the team of virtually everything from Daytona but its victory, trophy, and Rolex watches. An engineer whom MSR said was responsible was indefinitely suspended by IMSA and fired by the team. IMSA also implemented new processes to prevent future attempts at circumventing tire pressure regulations. But IMSA President John Doonan said he and others have wrestled with the penalty's impact on Shank.
Mike is a dear friend, great champion, has built an amazing team, and it pains me not to see him. I competed against him. I have known him and certainly his drivers for a long time. So that is a slight missing piece of the puzzle for me this year, just because of a deep relationship. And as you know, Nate, racing's a family. But it was a tough situation, and it still pains me. I lost personally a lot of sleep, and I know a lot of other people did too. But our series and motorsport and sport in general is built on fair competition. And when we learned of the fact that offsets had been put in to the tire pressure monitoring system, such that the data we saw was fine, but the true data was out of compliance, that was a tough one to swallow. Anytime that happens in sport, it's really challenging to accept that. At the same time, it's incumbent on us as a sanctioning body to make sure that that never happens again. And the way that we have data streams set up, regulations set up, and obviously it's incumbent on the competitors, manufacturers, individual race teams, drivers to play fairly. And since then, we've learned a lot. Previously, the data streams didn't come directly to us. They came through a series of channels, but we've put in a significant amount of time to develop regulations that we actually implemented throughout the 23 season of regular checks on pit lane and in cooperation with our partners at Michelin, processes to improve the integrity and how it arrives to us, and ways to verify it as accurate, whether it's, again, in cooperation with Michelin, spot checks when tires come off of the cars, spot checks potentially before the tires go on cars. So, numerous layers of what I would call security, safety, validation checks that would prevent this type of thing from happening again. Highly sophisticated race cars, highly sophisticated processes to run them and to officiate them. So I go into the race with a lot more confidence that, we've taken the right steps to make sure that nothing like that ever happens again.
But beyond a $50,000 fine and huge points deductions, the worst fallout was MSR's support from Acura. In a terse statement after the penalty, Salter said Honda was extremely disappointed in the misconduct of Meyer-Shank Racing and does not tolerate any delinquency or data manipulation of any kind. We completely support the actions of IMSA in this matter. We have put in a huge effort over 2 years with our chassis partners into the ARX06 to make the best race car we could. To have this put into question is unacceptable. Meyer-Shank Racing was in a contract year with the Acura program. Rather than renew the team's deal, Acura elected to stay at two cars in 2024, as a second car was added at Wayne Taylor Racing Andretti, which finished second to MSR at Daytona. After a rash of tire failures in the 2021 Rolex 24 at Daytona, IMSA had begun regulating and monitoring minimum tire pressures in 2022. NBC Sports analyst Calvin Fish said MSR's data manipulation would have provided an edge, but not necessarily have won the race for the number 60.
It's just such a shame. I mean, that's how I look at it. It's just such a shame because they could have won the title last year. Whether it was a specific individual or whether there were more people in the know of what was going on there at the 24, these cars are really tricky. I mean, under combined load, Nate, when you're accelerating and turning, these cars are really tricky to drive. We saw it on numerous occasions last year. And I think what they were able to do with that tweak with their tire pressure was make the car more comfortable for their drivers, particularly on outlaps and things like that. And it gave them an advantage, whether it handed them the win. I mean, Wayne Taylor finished right behind them, so the Acuras were quick. They could have won it without and could have followed up on their 2022 win without doing that. And, you know, it's just so disappointing that we now talk about going into this year without them, because I think there was a fallout in the relationship with Acura because of that. I mean, the Japanese culture, that didn't go down well. And I think Wayne always wanted a two-car program. I think that was somewhat, I wouldn't say it was 100% locked in, but 90% locked in that they were going to two cars. Mike Shank's deal with Acura was up at the end of 23. So it was really a question that they collectively didn't renew. Yeah, lots of questions. I mean, obviously, a lot of it is confidential between the groups, which we certainly understand. But yeah, just disappointing and a shame. I mean, I have total admiration for Mike Shank and what that team has done over the years. They've been one of the linchpins of our IMSA / Rolex Grand Am days. And to not see them on the grid is disappointing in itself, let alone, you know, going in and talking about, well, the team that won here last year, how did they win?
Since an apology statement about the incident in which the team said the matter was closed, MSR has been tight-lipped about what happened at Daytona. Shank frequently has referred to it as the problem or the issue that the team had in January. One of the rare instances in which he had more to say came after Meyer Shank Racing's first win since Daytona. The victory at Canadian Tire Motorsport Park was more than 5 months after the Rolex 24. But Shank still had a message for his haters.
Well, we lost some track position on that one pit exchange. We just had a little problem, put us in third. We could see we weren't going to pass our way up to the lead. So we were like, well, we missed this pit entry. They closed the pits. We had to stay out. And we're like, screw it, let's just go. We're either going to win it or we're going to finish eighth. And I'm not here to finish eighth anymore. So I just want to say one thing. There's a lot of people that said a lot of nasty things about my team, my family, my partner, Jim Meyer, since January. And I just want to say this is for them. This is all due to the work from HPD, Acura, and the MSR team. This is incredible machine and really purpose-built for a track like this. So we thank everyone involved.
MSR would win again in the Petit Le Mans season finale. It was a bittersweet end to 2023. The team still finished third in the point standings and likely would have won a second consecutive series championship without its Daytona penalties.
What does it mean to you to close out this era, only temporarily though, in the way that you've done it with all that you've gone through this year?
I said a million times, I got to thank Acura and HPD, but these drivers and this team, ultimately, so grateful, so happy. 20th season. This is three Petit Le Mans wins for us. We've just done a hell of a job. We went from P last in the championship to P3, and without our issue at Daytona, we'd win going away. So I'm super proud. No one deserves it more than this team. And again, thank you, Aunt John and Katie here from Acura, which I love. And man alive, what a day, what a day.
Blomqvist and Brown put the Starcross season in perspective afterward.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. I think, you know, good things happen to good guys. And, you know, I think this couldn't be more true. You know, we've won three races this year. Obviously, we, you know, we don't have a championship. But, I mean, I couldn't be more proud and at the same time grateful to have, you know, spent these last two seasons with this team. You know, we've done a lot together, you know, won some good races. And it's just such a good team atmosphere, and it's like a family. And they work hard, they never give up. I mean, but yeah, it's just been an absolutely fantastic day. And to see the emotion on everyone's face within the team when we get a result like this, you know, when everyone knows it's basically the last race and they're not coming back next year, you know, that was really special and cool to see.
I don't know if it's redemption, but I mean, man, we were certainly you know, fight to the end kind of team. And you know, we just put our heads down and kept doing the job that we've been doing all year. You know, I think it's just testament to sort of the group that Mike's built and the tenacity. And, you know, we're just really, really hungry to go and win races. And, you know, we could be aggressive and we could, you know, take some chances. And you know, I think, as Tom said, good things happen to good people. And, you know, just a super duper good group of people that are all just, you know, die hard trying to win every race we can. And you know, there wasn't a lot of BS. We were just heads down doing our thing, you know, nothing really got in our way. We just kept fighting all the way.
There would be some good news for Blomqvist and Brown, as both found rides for the 2024 Rolex 24 at Daytona. Blomqvist, who will become a full-time IndyCar driver with MSR this season, will be the endurance driver for the number 31 Action Express Cadillac. Brown has returned to the LMP2 category with the CrowdStrike team. It's a bit of a relief for Shank, who used his connections to get them on the grid.
I did everything to help to do that. I called people, I could to make sure those boys are racing there, because again, they're in the same vein. They both deserve to be there at a high level, and they both have proven themselves in the trenches here at IMSA. And I think you'll see both of them do star individually in what they're doing there this year. But I can promise you I have options on those boys if we get back going here.
The other two drivers from last year's winning lineup won't be racing at Daytona this year. Simon Pagenaud hasn't raced since he was injured in an IndyCar practice crash at Mid-Ohio last July. And after being in the lineup for the past three Rolex 24 Daytona winners, Elio Castroneves won't have the chance to win a fourth consecutive Rolex, despite his best efforts. Castroneves tried to laugh off the situation, but his absence from this year's grid clearly stings.
Yes, I did try. I spoke with several teams. They didn't seem to be interested, and even joke about that if they want to win, they should have me, because the last three times the winner. It was me, so I guess they didn't want to win, so which is fine. But in the end of the day, I didn't want to put myself also in a very bad spot. So, yeah, it's a shame that it didn't happen. Disappointed with that, because I want to defend my win and going for the number four in a row, which will be fantastic. But things happen for a reason, and we wait for the right opportunity to go back.
In the meantime, Castroneves will focus on trying to win a fifth Indy 500 in May in a new role, having become a minority owner and team executive at MSR last year. Shank also tried to help secure a ride for Castroneves, a 10-time winner in IMSA.
The answer is yes. I am a little bit surprised. Everyone's got their own agenda and their own thoughts on things, so I can't answer to why people wouldn't do that, but he's been valuable. In fact, in 2022, he anchored the race. He won the race for us. He was in the car when we won in 22. You know, I don't know. I it's a little bit of a mystery, and I said the same thing to him. But, you know, he and I are both like, let's roll on. This is what it is. And let's keep working on all of our sponsors and partners and certainly OEMs to get us back to where we want to be. And I think he probably could have done it. I think there was some things hanging around, but I just think he wanted to do it at the level that he's been at the last 3 years. I mean, you're talking about a guy who won four Indies and three Rolexes overall,
yeah,
in a row, you know, plus two Petites in a row.
If it seems as if Castroneves' accomplishments got lost in the shuffle, that might be the feeling that Shank experiences this year starting at Daytona. The saying, out of sight, out of mind, could have originated in auto racing. And Shank is resigned to the fact his team largely will be overlooked at Daytona this month, despite being a two-time defending Rolex 24 overall champion.
Yeah, probably. That's tough. Yeah, for sure. But if you look at our record over 20 years, we won it three times overall. We've got, I can't even tell you how many top fives and podiums and how many times we've finished the race. The success we've had there is great. And the people that are in the know kind of know that. But, you know, we had a tough thing happen to us in January, and it, you know, we went on, and arguably we had the best season of anybody out there. We beat both Penske's, both Ray Hall's, the Ganassi in the championship, even after it was like we weren't at Daytona, you know? So I think we're the best team on the pit lane right now. I've been able to retain my whole entire crew. And to do other things until we figure out where we're at, kept all of our equipment. So we're a turnkey championship level team. And we're talking to lots of different groups right now. So, you know, we'll see where that leaves us. I don't totally know the future, but, you know, we want to be back, and we're going to work as hard as we can to be back, you know.
With Lamborghini entering GTP this year and Alpine exploring an LMDH IMSA program for 2025, there are options for returning to the top prototype category. Shank declined to comment on specifics, but said he also would be open to returning to the GT category, where he won championships with the Acura NSX before moving to the top prototype class.
You know, listen, I can't talk at all about who I'm speaking with, but I can tell you that I would like it to be GTP. Having said that, a proper OEM GT deal too would be hard looked at too, because we did that also. Remember, from 2018 to 2020, we won two championships in a row for Acura and the GTD. So, we would look at both. What's most important is that we're in a proper program with really, really next level engineering that our team can grow from and bring our side of it too, but grow from the new stuff coming, right? And OEMs really allow you to do that. Our big growth came, as an example, when we were with Acura and HPD and Honda, HPD at the time. Our group learned a lot because they are pushing boundaries, right? And it really expanded what we were capable of, and I recognize that. So to answer your question, hopefully in GTP, but we'd look at a GTD deal, a proper one.
I think Mike and the whole team will be back. I don't think the sports car era for Marashank Racing is over. They're determined to be back on the grid. And as we said earlier, when you look at the points for the rest of the year with everything tidied up and cleaned up and more discipline and protocol in place, that couldn't happen, they were the most successful team. They outscored the rest of the teams over the remaining eight races in the championship. So it's just such a shame that we're going to have to talk about it a little bit going into this year's race, where if that hadn't happened, maybe they would still be in sports car racing and we'd be talking about them going for three straight. And how dominant they've been. So it's just disappointing, really.
Doonan said IMSA wants Shank back on its grid as soon as possible.
Well, there's no doubt the stuff that Mike accomplished in IMSA, whether it was his Daytona prototype overall win with Dinger and Justin Wilson, rest his soul, the lap record, speed record they did with that car at Daytona, the things he accomplished in GT racing, multi-time champions with Acura and the NSX, getting the victory in DPI and then in GTP. Guy is built, and he and Beth have built an amazing race team with Jim Meyer, and we love to have him back. And if ever there's any help I can provide him, I'm willing to step up and help him be back on the grid.
Shank says he also is talking regularly with IMSA owner Jim France.
John, for sure. Even, you know, Jim France and I talk, you know, every month or so just to check in and see where we're at. You know, Jim took me under his wing a long time ago when we first got in, my wife and I first got in. I consider him friends, both of them, and Jim is a huge supporter of ours, and I know he'll do everything on his side to make sure that we can kind of get back there. And we'd like to be back in 25, and for the meantime, we'll focus on improving our IndyCar program like you and I've talked in the past, and see where it lands. But I can, you know, I can't sugarcoat it. It's tough. It's very hard not being there, knowing that we're peaking. We're absolutely at the top of our strength on the IMSA side right now, and we deserve to be there. We have a true love of IMSA and sports car racing. And I promise you, I work on it every day. Every day I work on something to how we get back, you know.
Thanks for listening to the NASCAR and NBC podcast. And thanks to Matt Cleary, Matty Komar, and Nate Siebens for recording the interviews with Mike Shank and John Doonan. And thanks to Calvin Fish for his time. The Rolex 24 Daytona will be taking place January 27th through 28th at Daytona International Speedway. For information on how to watch on NBC, USA, and Peacock, you can go to nbcsports.com/motors. You'll find schedule information, results, entry lists, and the starting lineup, as well as NBC Sports features. That's at nbcsports.com/motors. Thanks again for listening to the NASCAR and NBC podcast.
Dogs are an important part of our lives, and keeping them protected is a top priority, especially against nasty parasites. That's why you gotta check out NexGard Plus, ofoxaconazole, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection that kills fleas and ticks, prevents heartworm disease. Plus, it treats and controls roundworms and hookworms. That's a whole lot of protection packed into a delicious beef-flavored, soft chew designed to make monthly dosing easy and enjoyable. So the next time you're at the vet, ask about NexGard Plus Chews. They're the one-and-done monthly parasite protection you want for your dog. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.